Our study tonight is out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 to 26, responding well to false teachers by godly personal conduct in their presence. Though church leaders and all who disciple must not fellowship with false teachers, sometimes those with false doctrine aggressively challenge God's true disciples who hold to the truth. This can happen in a church setting, it can happen in a Bible study setting, and it can even happen in a family where a parent is trying to disciple a child or a teenager or someone like that, or if a marriage partner is trying to disciple or trying to witness to their husband or wife, or it could be a friend at work. So we can apply this to a discipler at large. Well, in these cases, the discipler needs to know how to conduct himself in a spiritually dangerous situation. Why do we say it's dangerous? Dangerous because false spiritual teaching is backed by satanic forces. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul in verses 25 and 26 of the passage that we're reading tonight says, in meekness instructing those who contradict them, if God perhaps will give them a repentance to acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who's taken them captive by him to do his will. When a person is operating and confronting a discipler in an aggressive way with errant doctrine, that's a satanic attack. That's what this passage actually teaches. And that's something you have to be mindful of and think about. I wish I had been aware of this passage and its application when I first got into the pastor, because I faced a lot of this in the early years until I found out I could discern what was going on. And that made all the difference in the world. Because once the evil one knows that you're onto him and you react the way God wants you to, then he's powerless to deal with the situation, because God steps in and he takes over. But it's wise for us to go through this passage, and I found it to be very helpful. So why don't we read the verses, and then we'll look at them. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 23 and going to verse 26. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender arguments or strifes. But the servant of the Lord must not argue or strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach or skilled in teaching, patient, in meekness instructing those who contradict them, if God perhaps will give them a repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will. Well, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, in the English Standard and the New International Versions, Paul warned Timothy to reject or to avoid, the Greek word is paraiteomai, foolish, ignorant controversies, as they only breed quarrels. Now, regarding quarrels, it is absolutely necessary. The Greek word is dei, which means to be necessary. It's absolutely necessary that the servant of God not get involved in such behavior. For that dilutes his credibility and his effectiveness, because it is carnality, meaning that becoming quarrelsome is a spiritual trap. The evil one has lots of tools in his little chest that he can use. One of the tools is discouragement, and if he can't get us through discouragement, he'll try luring us by way of a lust or something. If that doesn't work, he'll try to get us to be very defensive, because he'll arrange for someone to come at us in a very aggressive manner so that we become defensive and then get into an argument. Once we get into an argument, we fall in prey to the evil one, because then we're carnal ourselves, and then we lose our effectiveness. So we have to be very, very careful how we behave ourselves in the presence of a situation where the person that we're seeking to disciple is suddenly confronts us in an aggressive manner. That's what Paul is saying. Whatever you do, don't argue. Never get caught into that trap. Instead, and the Greek word is Allah, which means rather. This is a very strong adversative. You can say the word death, which is the word, it can be translated but in a minor sense, but this is Allah. Allah means but rather. As opposed to this, go do something else. But rather, it's a strong adversative, in avoiding quarreling, the discipler is to employ the following good behavior to be used of God. First of all, and this comes out in the second part of verse 24, he has to be gentle unto all men. The word gentle is epios, and it actually means gentle or mild, towards everyone, retaining godly credibility by not becoming carnally argumentative with an aggressive opponent. The reason this is so important is because if we are mild, if we are gentle, it becomes evident that we are not reacting in the flesh. We are not taking the individual on in human effort. If you take an individual on who's being influenced by Satan in human effort, you lose the battle because Satan can deal with that and he can wallop us. If we rely on gentleness, we're relying on God. And when we rely on God, there is another dimension to this whole conflict. God gets directly involved, and God and Satan go at it above just you and the other person or me and the other person that we're dealing with. So remember, that there's a spiritual conflict that's going on here. So we have to remain gentle, which means that we are cognizant of the fact that we are not relying on human power. Second, he has to be skillful in teaching. The Greek word is didaktikos. It means to focus on explaining the facts of God's word and keeping his train of thought clear and logical to make an impact. As many of you know, we have an adult Sunday school class here in the Sunday mornings. And there have been times over the years when I teach during the first half of the hour, and the second half hour generally, we open it up for questions and feedback. And it's interesting, sometimes in the years past, we've gotten into interesting discussions, sometimes discussions that can get rather direct or sometimes even somewhat confrontational. And I've learned to try to interact with a person only using Scripture or just relying on Scripture, because the Scripture is the Word of God, and the Word of God is alive and powerful. If we rely on Scripture and just use Scripture, it's amazing how the Lord uses that to just diffuse the situation, because who's going to argue with God? If you say, well, I think, and then go at it, you know, the person, well, that's just what you think, and before you know it, you're into this give and take. But if you say, this is what God's word says, boom, that settles the issue, and also the Lord gets involved. Another thing, when we use the word of God, we're appealing to an authority that is greater than Satan. Satan cannot handle that, because he's dealing with an authority that is greater than him. We have to hide behind the authority of God when we're dealing with a conflict that involves Satan. We dare not use our power. We dare not use our thoughts. We have to use the thoughts of God, the Word of God. So, and remember, the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, and it's very powerful with a human being involved. It's also very powerful with the authority. Remember in the book of Jude, it talks about an argument or there was a difference of opinion over the Moses's body between Satan and Michael the archangel. And Michael the archangel did not dare to tell Satan what to do. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He appealed to God's authority. And that's what handled it, because Satan is actually more powerful than Michael the archangel. Satan was apparently around the throne of God. He was the most powerful angel that God had created. So we, of all people, must rely upon the Lord. So we have to be skillful in teaching, explaining the facts of God's word and keeping the train of thought clear and logical to make an impact. Third, he must bear evil without resentment. The word anexikakos means not to allow yourself to fall prey to a defensive attitude that only discredits yourself and your discipling effort. Bearing evil without resentment. Someone may swear at you, may curse you, or say, make a very derogatory remark about the Bible or about God and so forth. And what we need to do, that's suffering that we're facing. Well, instead of being resentful, we need to soak that up, just deal with it, and then keep staying with the truth of the Word of God. So all of that is an effort by the evil one behind the person to try to get us to fall for the trap of sinning, and then we become ineffective. We've got to avoid sinning. So, being skillful in the teaching, then bearing evil without resentment. Fourth, he must be in humble courtesy, prautes. He must humbly in courtesy correct. Paiduo is used of, we get the word pediatrics from this. Pediatrics deals with the science of dealing with younger children. Paiduo means to rear a child in a corrective manner. It can refer to the spanking, but it can also refer to verbal correction. But we must gently correct, in humble courtesy, correct those who oppose for their own errant benefit. This is the Greek word antidithetheme, in the middle voice. The middle voice is what you do it for your own benefit. See, these people are opposing the servant of the Lord for their own benefit. They think it's to their advantage to oppose. They don't know that they're being used of Satan. So we must be humble and we must be courteous and correct the person and say, no, this is what God's word says. The word of God says this, and just boom, stay with the facts, stay with the truth. Now, with that kind of behavior by a servant, God can interact with a false opposing party for effective spiritual results, as explained in verses 25 through 26. When the discipler as God's servant acts with such godly behavior before a foe of his discipling effort, his foe has cause to reconsider his own ways so that God might, meplete in the Greek word means in order that God might grant him opportunity to repent and come to know the truth. If we have a tendency to respond with a quiet and a meek way to a person, and the person recognizes that we're not just going to put up our dukes up and fight them, that actually diffuses their capacity to fight, and it makes them have to think. If we come back with our dukes up and wanting to fight, they're not going to go into the thinking mode. They're going to put their dukes up, and they're going to come back and fight because they have to be defensive. And all of a sudden, our discipling effort goes right out the window. So if we want to make headway with a person, we have to function in a way that we're not defensive, in which we can think, in which we are carefully trying to communicate factual information to the brain, because that's what they need to do. They've been deceived by Satan. They've been taken captive by Satan. They need to think clearly, and it's our job to help them think clearly and to be used of the Lord rather to be help them think clearly. However, if God's servant carnally reacts to the arguing opponent by himself harshly, dogmatically, defensively, and rudely becoming argumentative, he merely adds to the carnal foe's own spiritual blindness by reinforcing his position as he in turn reacts to arguing in defense of ungodly retaliation. I've always gotten a kick out of watching managers who come storming out of the dugout in a baseball game after the umpire. And they're sitting there just like that. Rarely does that get very far because they're making a scene in front of 35,000 people, and the umpire's not going to back down. He's the umpire. And so he'll get back there and he'll shout in his face just as well. And if they keep it up, then eventually the umpire kicks him out of the game. Of course, a lot of the people feel it's a show and they get a kick out of it. But managers who go out there and say, why was that call made? Or are you aware of this and so forth? They have a tendency to make a lot more progress with these men. So the same is true in the regards to the discipling process. We don't want to get a person to get his hackles up and get his defensiveness up, because then discipling goes out the window. Good behavior, taught in 2 Timothy 2:23 to 25, then gives the discipler's foe cause to rethink his behavior in view, and thus to realize his error, and thus to escape the snare or the trap. The Greek word is pagis, which means snare or trap, of the devil who has taken him captive, zagreo, to do Satan's will. And I believe zagreo is in the passive. They've been taken captive by Satan. Satan is incredibly shrewd and very, very intelligent, and he knows how to get a person to act defensively and act aggressively because he feels that somehow his rights have been trampled on, when that's not the case at all. So we have to be very, very careful in dealing with a person who has been taken captive by Satan, whose whole way of thinking is distorted. Now, God's servant then must realize that Satan deceives people, in turn using them to confront God's servant to get him to discredit himself and lose his effectiveness by falling into the trap of reactionary carnal behavior versus continuing to share the truth in a godly way. Good behavior counters Satan's effort and can even lead to the discipling of the one who opposes God's servant. Did you pick that up in the verse 26? That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will. You see, when a person reacts with meekness and instructing gently and so forth, it equips the person who's coming at him to think and then to realize how badly his situation is and then to pull out of that. It's an amazing the thing that we can do. So if others directly oppose our true ministry And this could be someone in the pastorate, it could be someone who's a Sunday school teacher, it could be a parent dealing with a child, it could be someone discipling anybody else in any kind of a context like that. If others directly oppose the true discipler's ministry, God's discipler must realize that the angelic conflict is involved in the confrontation, so that he not fall prey to the lure to retaliate to mistreatment by bad behavior, but to continue in gentle godliness to give the truth, looking for God to handle the opponent. So may we function in such wisdom before foes of our ministry so that God can use us. A number of years ago, there was a dear lady in the church who came to me, and she was upset because she had heard someone say that I wasn't preaching the word. And for some reason, she believed it, so she came to me, and she was upset, and she said, "Why don't you just start preaching the word?" And I thought, well, I thought I was preaching the word. You need to be preaching the word. So I immediately realized this was probably an angelic conflict. So to get her to think, I asked, okay, can you show me from Scripture where I'm not preaching the word? She looked absolutely stunned, having thought of that. And then I said, well, I'm not above erring in this way. I'm not above not preaching the word. So I need to know, but I need to know that this is the instruction that's coming from God. You know, this is an opinion that you're sharing with me, and I understand your concern. I appreciate the concern, but if you can show me from Scripture that what I am doing is not preaching the word of God, then I will correct it, I guarantee. But I need to know that this is from God, okay? Well, she went back. A couple days later, she called up and apologized. She said, I was out of line. I couldn't find any Scripture. And I realized I had been swayed because of an opinion, not because of the factual evidence. And so we went on to being the best of friends, and we're still friends to this day. This lady used to be in our church. She doesn't go to our church, going to another church. But nevertheless, we're still on very good talking grounds, and I'm very grateful for that. A number of years ago, we had a film night in the Fellowship Hall in the room back here, and there was an excellent piece of advice given. It happened to be a Christian. He was a psychologist. And he was talking about dealing with problem teenage children. And this man said, sometimes a parent faces a situation where the teenage child blows up at him or her. And the tremendous temptation is to come back, because you've been the parent all along, you've had the authority, and to come back and lower the boom on the child. And you blow up and lose your cool. He said, that's the worst thing you can do, because if you lose your cool, you're actually transferring the leadership of the relationship to the child, because now he can punch your buttons and he can make you blow up. So he's going to keep punching your buttons to make you blow up. The best thing to do in that situation is calmly to interact with the individual, listen to them and say, is that all? Okay. And just stay to your guns. Because that way, if that person, the teenager, is blowing up at you, but you don't lose your cool, then you end up leading in the relationship. And I thought, that's excellent advice. And he gave it. It was years ago, but it happens to fit this passage. Now, I wish I could tell you that all of my discipling efforts have gone in this direction. They haven't. You know, in the earlier years, I made plenty of mistakes, because it's very easy to get defensive. That's the most natural instinct that we as people have. But it's a trap. What we need to do is to make sure that we're gentle, that we're skillful in the teaching, that we bear evil without resentment, and in humble courtesy correct, because that opens the door for the person to get out from under the being captive by the evil. It's a spiritual battle that we're in, and we have to remember that.